from books to a book club today on Scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. What makes a good book club? We'll ask Tina Sims, who really likes hers. Then we'll ask Garrison Keillor for the Writer's Almanac on Scribble. Book club. Whoever thought of a book club, I wonder.
I think the Greeks probably, right? They've thought of everything.
Well, they were using papyri, weren't they?
Well, I don't know.
Tina Sims, whatever got you into a book club?
Well, I've always been an avid reader, and I was noticing that people at work were in this book club, and I just so wanted to be in the book club and read something that wasn't about work. And so I finally talked to someone, got the name of Marcia Manor, who was the head of the book club, and just wormed my way in.
What is it about a book club? I've talked to book clubs before, and they pick a book, and you have to read it.
You do.
Well, that's not fair.
You do have to read a book, and that's the fun part about it, because you get to read books that you normally wouldn't read. There are books that I wouldn't have ever thought of reading and have enjoyed them tremendously. But you can also recommend a book and let other people enjoy the books that you enjoy reading.
Is it a true democracy? I mean, do you vote on this? How do you come up with books?
Well, I know some book clubs are true democracies. Ours is, it's a democracy. It's a democracy.
I see. A little something is creeping into the conversation.
Yeah, you know, we veto books when there's someone who's read the book and they just hated it. We have vetoed books, and there are genres. So for a while, we were reading a lot of books about the Holocaust, and we have vetoed Holocaust books for a little while. But, you know, we'll start reading them again. We just needed a little break from books about the Holocaust.
Do you choose a year's worth at a time?
Or? No, we read our book, and then we choose our book for two times down. So.
Mm-hmm. And it's monthly?
It's monthly. Okay. And we meet at a library. I know lots of book clubs meet at people's houses, and they have wine and do very little talking about the books. But
right,
we actually meet in a library. In fact, we meet in the Andalusia Library, and the librarian often gets involved in our discussions,
well, now,
too.
Well, wait a minute. Aren't libraries supposed to be quiet places? You get to gabbling away here about books, creating a commotion?
Yeah, sometimes we do worry a little bit that and there have been a few times when we have gotten the shh from the librarian because we have been too loud. But normally, I hate to say it, but people aren't in there reading. A lot of times they're more in there on the computer, and they're in their own little world, and they don't hear a word we're saying. So,
yeah, it's how does that go? I mean, you're in a book club, and you've been assigned, and maybe you've been part of the choice of it, but when you get to the discussion, are you criticizing? Are you commenting on it? Are you extrapolating from what you've read? What exactly is the discussion about?
All of the above.
Well, that's not fair.
Sometimes my discussion alone has been, I like the book. And then it's like, I'm not sure what else to say about this. And then other people start adding, and then you just add in on the discussion. And you find excerpts from the book that you have found that have been a little bit profound, that means something to you, and you read it, or somebody asks a question, and then the discussion just goes from there.
Do you ever argue?
wouldn't say we argue. Sometimes we might disagree, but we don't. We're actually a group club of teachers. So.
How many are in your book club?
14.
And is that, do you think, an ideal number?
Yes, because not all 14 come. We usually have about 8 to 10 that are there.
When I was teaching, to me, that would be an ideal class size.
Yes,
Because if you just don't want to be heard, you can hide.
Yes.
You know, where you can't hide if there are 5 or 8.
And
but on the other hand, if there are 30, then you get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, it really is a perfect size. And when I say we're teachers, we're mostly retired teachers now. Most of us started in the book club when we were teaching, but now we've all retired, so.
You know, to digress, Roald, you talk about ideal class size. I went to school, elementary school and high school, with a class of 60. Then I went to college with a huge lecture hall.
Right.
I've never been in a small class. Is that de rigueur now? Is that what college classes are? Are they all small?
Well, ours at Augie were the freshman English is limited to 15. So,
holy mackerel.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. And I was in the elementary. We would have given anything for a class of 15. Yes.
Yeah. That's a luxury.
Well, almost anybody who wants to talk can talk, mm-hmm. you know, but you don't have to if there are 14 or 15. And well, sometimes you just don't want to say anything, right?
Is that true ever with you in the book club? Is there ever a time you don't want to contribute, Tina?
Oh, yes. Yes. And I just a little story. I have recommended books, but I'm not going to say what the book is because I don't want to give any prejudice to anybody about the book because some people really love this book. But I did recommend a book, and I think I was one of three people that read it because everybody hated it.
Now you have to tell us the name of the book. We're here to promote books. So what was that book, Tina?
Love in the Time of Cholera.
Oh, okay. Well.
Well, what was your take on that book?
A B plus.
Okay.
Well, I recommended Grendel by John Gardner to a book club. And when I went up to join them for the discussion, they wondered what was wrong with me. I thought it was a great book.
The thing for me wrong with A Love in a Time of Cholera is I had read some of his other books first, and I didn't think this was as good as some of the other.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's a good book,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. But I liked it, but I really kind of.
And why didn't people like it?
I'm not sure why they didn't like it. All I got was that was the worst book I've ever read, and then they started talking about other things.
Well, that saves you from an intense discussion.
Yes, it did.
Is there a book or two that you can name that everybody liked?
Oh.
Or is there always some party pooper that...
No, there really... Do you think there's always some... I don't think there's always some party pooper, no. I actually do have our books that we've read throughout the years, and we are at 199.
Wow.
Last one is 200. So, 200 books, 200 months.
And what are some of the recent books you've read?
Well, The Secret Wisdom of the Earth, The Unfinished Angel, Telling of the Bees, The Rosie Project, The Girl on the Train.
Oh, that's I know that. That's like Gone Girl.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
What was your reaction to Gone Girl?
I didn't like any of the characters in Gone Girl.
When I finished the book, I wanted to throw it away.
Yeah, but, I didn't like
But you sure didn't figure out the ending before the ending, did you?
No. The ending was like a slap in the face.
Yeah.
I have an offer to buy dinner for anybody who can tell me what the ending is like, 50 pages before the ending.
Yeah, if they haven't read
it, you can't do it.
You can't tell.
No, they're not terribly likable characters.
No.
Oh, no.
No.
No, but I mean, but you don't realize the depth of this until you get to the end of the book.
I know. That was the good thing about the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was like, I just Yeah.
Felt like your hands were sticky or something.
I know.
Do you ever go back and read classics?
Yes. Yes, we do.
The Great Gatsby.
The Great Gatsby. Yes, okay. Thank you. And I was just thinking To Kill a Mockingbird.
To Kill a Mockingbird?
Yeah, To Kill a Mockingbird.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, every now and then we have a suggestion. Someone will suggest, okay, I'd like to reread.
Do you ever read nonfiction books?
Not very often. We did read, which is sort of a nonfiction, Boys in the Boat.
Mm-hmm. Right. I guess that would be nonfiction, sort of.
That was a book right. that we...
But to me, as we'll...
Like a biography or something like that.
No poetry, I suppose.
No poetry.
Why is that?
I think they'd probably not like that.
Poor Roald, you know, he just gets knocked down on poetry again and again.
I go back,
Emerson's phrase, the people imagine they hate poetry, and yet they're all poets and mystics. Uh-huh. He says, on the brink of the waters of life, they're miserably dying of thirst.
Yeah, but where's your poem?
Well, I can't write it, but I do love to read it.
I was going to say, maybe you could come and read poetry to us.
Yeah, that would be an experience.
Yeah. We did have one time a local artist come and talk to us, Gunda Davis. She wrote Pumpkin Soup.
Yes, right.
We read that, and then she came and spoke with us. So mm-hmm. I knew her through a couple of organizations, so...
You know, some of the most important books right now are nonfiction. And, you know, I talk about them all the time. Dark Money, The Brothers, Sapiens. I mean, these are critical books for people to know. But
I don't see them writing them down.
No.
That's a lost cause.
Yeah.
It's a losing game.
Well, fiction is a perfect thing, I think, for a book club, too. But
why?
Well, because you can go off it in so many ways, and mm-hmm. I don't know.
Just like fiction, that's it.
Well, it's all fiction. You call it nonfiction, but, you know.
Yeah, and we have read a couple memoirs, so He's a Good Man, Rediscovering Sergeant Shriver. We've read that.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of nonfiction, you know, but more of a memoir.
Somebody said in a... book review in the Wall Street Journal review a couple of months ago, that why she joined a book club was it's like once a month you get to enter Brigadoon, right, and get completely away from this world.
Yes.
And just enjoy away from your responsibilities, away from the kids, away from everything, and for an hour or two, they did have wine with theirs.
Yeah. mm-hmm.
Well,
we might have a glass of wine after we're done here. But
well, does your book club have a name?
Yes, we do.
We have a voice from beyond.
We have a voice from beyond.
You'll hear her next week.
Yeah, we have a voice from beyond because she is a founding member of the book club, and I am not. So she would. It's so important we can't even remember the name.
I see. Well,
but we're just the Andalusia Library Book Club.
Mm-hmm. And when do you meet?
We meet on the first Wednesday of every month.
In the morning, after?
No, in the evening.
In the evening, uh-huh.
Because we do still have a few people that work.
Yeah. It's but that is interesting, the whole idea of a book club. I wonder how that started.
There are so many book clubs around. But not all of them are as successful as Tina's. I've joined a couple where it's a rare evening when we stay more than 15 minutes on the book because most people didn't like it or didn't get it read. And our organist at church is part of a book club, and she gets so frustrated because maybe only one or two people in the whole book club have read the book. They're just sort of there to socialize. So it's amazing, I think, that you're running a book club that where people do really read it and take it seriously. And
well, now wait, we don't know that that's the case.
Oh, yeah. We were talking on the way here, and I said, you know, when I was working, there were a couple times that I did not read I just didn't have time to read the book, and so I just wouldn't come to the book club because I didn't want to not
didn't want people to know.
I didn't want people to know read the book. That's right.
Yeah, that's but, you know, that is, it's interesting. You're on, what, 200?
200.
That's
we should have a party or something.
That's a stretch because I think this program has not gone to 200. We're at about 115.
Right.
Well, we'll say about 121, something like that. Yeah, so you have staying power. Are the same people there? Do you have people coming in and out of the club?
More coming in than going out. I think once you're there, you're there, you know. But we had a couple new members recently, and all are welcome.
One interesting thing, you recommend a book. Now, does everybody have to go out and buy the book?
No, that's different than most book clubs. Like, I have friends that are in book clubs where they have a book and they either – it's their responsibility to get the book. In this book club, it's a blessing and a curse because we have to make sure that the library system has enough for all of us.
I see.
So the librarian is there and will say, okay, we're interested in this book. And she looks it up and she'll say it has so many holds. Yep, we'll be able to get it for you in 2 months.
Well,
so,
isn't that rather limiting?
It is a little bit limiting. But eventually, even the best books.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you look at the fate of libraries these days with money being tight in all political entities. And libraries, I think, have to cut down as everybody else does. So you might not have the widespread choice that you might otherwise have.
Yeah, they are a part of a network, and it's kind of fun. I always look to see where my book is from. That's the first thing I do. Okay, what library is my book from?
Well, that is the saving thing, too,
yeah.
That we have the center library system.
Yes.
Yeah, we've talked to some people who've been in that system, and it is important that they have that connection, because even in the Quad Cities and all around, books can circulate and can be moved from one place to another.
Yeah, I think I've had books from the suburbs, so yeah, they mm-hmm. get them from far and wide. And like the book we're reading now, I already had my own copy, so I did not need one, and lots of times people will have their own copies of a book that we've read.
Well, Tina, I must say it's been interesting to hear from someone who is such an enthusiastic book club member.
Thank you.
And we'll talk about one of the other members and an avid reader next week. But for right now, that's Tina Sims' take on the Andalusia Library Book Club. If that isn't the official name, if it wasn't before, it is now.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, and with that, let's see what we can get out of Garrison Keillor. Support for Writer's Almanac on WVIK comes from the Mississippi Valley Regional Blood Center, working together with volunteer donors to provide blood products and services to hospitals throughout the region. Information at bloodcenter.org. Listening to Tina talk about book clubs and you talking to book clubs, how does that work? I mean, do you go, when you give talks to book clubs, do you?
Oh, I know. I've given only a few talks to book clubs. I just talk about a particular author they might like to.
So,
I did one on Louise Penny, for instance, and
mm-hmm.
and finally, I mean, discovered that most of them were reading Louise Penny's mysteries.
But I guess what I wonder is when you are you invited to come in and talk about a book they are reading, or you just come in and talk?
Well, I guess in every case it's been I just talk about books. And well, since I've started doing Scribble, I've been asked to come and talk about Scribble
mm-hmm.
and books and the nature of books.
I remember when I was invited to come and talk about Grendel, it was to defend myself.
Right.
That is a remarkable book because every chapter expresses a different mode of thought.
It is, yes.
And I thought it was just the most amazing thing I'd ever read. As a matter of fact, after reading that, I was president of the Friends of the Rock Island Library. I invited him as one of two authors to come to town to spend 3 days. That was our first big event. And what an interesting guy. And that very week, New York Times declared he was the most important writer in the country at the moment.
Right. Yeah, boy, he was
talk about
way
a stroke
up there
of luck.
For a while.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the Sunlight Dialogues had come out that weekend. But well, we have a few minutes here. Do you have something to recommend for any book club?
Well, I've got a perfect book club book. Peter Beagle, that most of you, if you're readers, know as the author of The Last Unicorn or A Fine and Private Place, is just out this a couple of months ago with his first book in a decade. And it is, like all of his books, a fantasy. But it's not a fantasy that you're even aware of is a fantasy until halfway through the book. The book is called Summer Long. Summer Long, one word. And it takes place in Puget Sound. The two main characters are a couple who've been together for 20 years in a kind of stalemate relationship. They're not married, and nothing is moving along in their relationship. She has a daughter from a previous marriage who's very difficult to control, a teenage daughter. And into their pretty prosaic life appears a young waitress at the restaurant that they frequent, who appears to be such a waif and so needy that they end up that evening offering her a place in their garage to stay. And they sort of fix the garage up so that she can at least live there. There's just something about her that's fascinating. And no sooner does she move in than strange things begin to happen to the environment and to the couple themselves. The weather turns beautiful. The guy in the story who has tried for years to brew beer in his basement, always with stupid failures, brews the best batch of beer that he's ever brewed. Blossoms seem to come out everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And but then you begin to think that all is not as it seems. And other strange characters, a character on the ferry over to Bainbridge Island and back, never seems to leave the ferry. It's clear that this girl, someone is looking for this young girl who is the waitress. And what will happen if they find her? What is going on? And there I'm going to have to leave you, or you will discover who it is. But believe me, you will be satisfied.
Oh, well, that you've made that sound very intriguing. I can't imagine the book club that wouldn't want to seize on that.
It would be a good discussion for a book club.
What is the name?
Summer Long by Peter Beagle, Beagle.
Mm-hmm. And that's brand new?
It came out this summer, long after we thought he'd given up writing at all.
Yeah, you find a writer you like, you hate to see him quit, and you badger him until they go back.
Well, this was worth waiting for.
Okay, and well, that's our recommendation, and that's our program. I'm Don Wooten with Roll Tweet. We thank you for your attention today, and we'll be back next week to try to beguile you with another avid reader on Scribble.